But open to your Bibles, Psalm chapter 1 tonight. Psalm chapter 1. Reading the first three verses here in Psalm chapter 1. Excited about preaching tonight. Preparing a 15-minute message, as Pastor said, it was a little difficult, and it really is. Trying to figure out where you're going to spend time. And I may end up talking fast tonight, and if I do, I'm sorry. We used to complain to my youth pastor that he talked too fast, and he just told us we needed to listen faster. So maybe if I talk fast, try and listen fast, or I'll get a dirty look from my wife, and I'll know what I'm supposed to do then. So, all right. Psalm chapter 1, and let's read verse 1 through 3. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Let's pray. Lord, I love you tonight, God, and thank you for the opportunity we have to come to church tonight on New Year's Eve. And Lord, hear from you, be able to worship you, Lord, hear the message and song. And Lord, just what an awesome opportunity it is. God, I pray that you bless us tonight as we're here. Lord, be with me as I preach, Lord, for the next few moments. And be with the rest of the service to come as well. And God, I pray right now that you just help me to, Lord, be your vessel tonight. Lord, I don't want to say anything that are my words. Lord, I want to say what you have for us. I ask for your help. Lord, I ask for your strength tonight. Lord, work in our hearts. We ask this in your name. Amen. Well, it is that time of year again where people set goals for the next year. We set goals for the next year, and we also look back and think about how we were able to accomplish our resolutions from years past. And a couple years ago, I made a resolution with some of the staff here at the church and to lose weight. And we were successful with that and lost about all the weight I wanted to lose. Actually, I could have lost a lot more, but I lost a decent amount of weight to be happy with the accomplishment I had. A couple years later, I've gained over half of that back. And tomorrow, after my last piece of New Year's pie, I will start again. So, but we set our resolutions for ourselves. Now, I was looking online, and I found a website, about.com, and they released a list of the most popular New Year's resolutions. The number one list this year, over 50% of people, this was on their list, it was to spend more time with family and friends. A lot of people also, the number two on the list was to lose weight or get in shape. Three was to enjoy life more. Number four was to get out of debt. Number five was to learn something new. Number six was to help others. Number seven was to get organized. And the list just kept going on and on and on. People all over the world are looking to improve their life. People at this time of year are thinking of ways that they can make this next year better than the year before. They want to prosper in their life, and there's nothing wrong with improving our life in this world. It's good to be successful. It's good to improve yourself. But more important than improving yourself in those areas, many times we may forget to set goals for ourselves spiritually. We may, many times at this time of year, it's a good time to look at our life and see, where am I in my relationship with God at this moment? What was I able to do for God this past year? What can I do for God this next year? We need to improve ourselves, but more importantly, improving ourselves is improving ourselves spiritually. Here in Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3, we find a very attractive picture. It's an illustration of a man that is in a right place with God. It's an illustration of this, maybe the successful Christian life. It's one that we could emulate, and one that I think every one of us could make a resolution for ourselves this year to follow through with the attributes we see here in verse 3. In verse 3, it talks about a man being as a tree. And thinking about the tree, thinking about a tree that is doing what a tree is supposed to do. One of the first things we see here says, "He shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season." This is a fruitful tree. It says it bringeth forth his fruit in his season. One of the greatest signs of a healthy tree is what it is producing. An apple tree needs to produce apples. An orange tree needs to produce oranges. Trees, if they are healthy and if they're doing their job, are going to be producing something. Many years after harvest, Farmers will go and they will evaluate their crops. They will look at these crops and see how they did this year and how this field did and how this group of trees did this year. They will evaluate that. And if we were to look at ourselves, and if we were going to evaluate our life for God this past year, how much fruit would we see? Would we be happy with what we saw? Would it be a decent amount for a Christian to have, or would it be a little amount? What kind of fruit do we find in our Christian life? What kind of fruit has come from us this past year? How many lives are we impacting? How many people have we been able to bring to church? What kind of an impact are we having on our children? Are we raising them to love God more? Are they seeing Christ in us every day? What about our family? What about your spouse? What about the fruit that people see in your reactions to the situations of life? Your attitude. How many people were we able to lead to Christ? How many tracts were we able to pass out? How many people were we able to be an encouragement to this year? What kind of fruit has been coming from our life? We see here that this tree was successful, and one of the first things mentioned about it was that it brought forth his fruit in his season. Every one of us, I believe, can make a resolution to be fruitful in this next year. We also see this was a healthy tree. You see, it says, brought forth his fruit in his season. Then it said, his leaf also shall not wither. That means every branch, every leaf on that tree was healthy. It looked like the rest. The tree was getting the proper nutrients that it needed. How is our life in that area? Are we getting what God has us to get? Are we as healthy as God would have us to be? When a storm comes, when this tree whose leaves shall not wither, I'm sure if the wind would blow or a storm would come, those leaves would stay on that tree. When a storm would come in our life, how do we look in the end of it? How are we able to handle that situation? How strong are we? It was a healthy tree, and we also see that it was a prosperous tree. It says, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. I'm not here preaching the prosperity gospel tonight. I'm not trying to get anything like that across. But we are to be prosperous in our Christian life. This isn't talking about being prosperous in all of your works here on earth or in your business, things like that. Let's think about the tree for a second. Let's think about the job of a tree and the life of a tree. And if we were to evaluate a tree, we would look for some certain things in its health. If it was a healthy tree, it would have a good root system. Its roots would be spread out. There would be a good foundation there. The wood would the woody fibers would be intact. It would be circulating the juices in the tree. It would be putting forth fruit buds. It would be putting forth blossoms. There would be fruit. There would be leaves. There would be things growing on that tree. It would be prospering in every area that a tree would prosper. How about in our Christian life? If we are to be the Christian God would have us to be, if we are to be producing the fruit and have the leaves that shall not wither, have the health there in our Christian life, if we're to be prosperous in our Christian life, then every area of our life, every area of the Christian life that we're supposed to be doing will be prosperous. If we are doing what God has us to do, if we are living the way he has us to live, then we will be a witness. We will have fruit coming from our life. We will be making it through the trials. We will be being an encouragement. We will be being a blessing to people. We will make it through all the things that a Christian goes through because we are as strong as God would have us to be, just as that tree we speak of here in verse 3. We'll be living in a way and prospering in our Christian life the way God had planned for us to prosper. We look at the picture that was there for us in verse 3, and that is a desirable situation, I believe. And I hope everyone in this auditorium tonight would look at that and say, yes, I would want my life to be that. I want to have the fruit as that tree had. I want to have the health as that tree. I want to prosper in every area of my life as God is intended for me to prosper in my life. I want that. In order to have that prosperous Christian life, what do we need to do? God's told us very clearly in verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 1. But I'm moving very quickly through these. Be prosperous. Verse 1, we see that you need to stay away from the world. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Do not walk in that wickedness. Do not find yourself under the influence of the world. Whether it's the things on TV, whether it's the people at work, whether it's the conversation, maybe in even some of our family circles, no matter what it is, we don't need to find ourselves walking in that counsel of the ungodly. Influenced by the world, finding ourselves in a situation to maybe conform to the image of the world. Don't stand in it. Don't deliberately put yourself in that situation. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't find yourself resting there in wickedness. Don't find yourself resting and find yourself being a scorner of the work of God. You know, you may be in here and you say, Brother Buddy, I'm not in the seat of the scornful. I'm not going out to participate in wickedness. If we look at this, it's a gradual thing. First, he's walking in the counsel of the godly. Then he's standing in the way of sinners. Then he's sitting in the seat of the scornful. You may not be sitting and see the scornful tonight, but if you happen to find yourself walking with the world, eventually you'll probably be sitting with them if we're not careful. Because we need to stay away from the world. And to be prosperous, we also need to go to the Word of God. I love verse 2. He says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law that he meditate day and night. For some reason, first thing I thought of when I saw this word delight was a dessert my mom used to make. It was a chocolate dessert. I don't remember if it was chocolate delight or what it was called, but it was good. And when I ate that dessert, I enjoyed it very much. I delighted in that. If we are a delight in something, we're going to find pleasure in it. We're going to find happiness in it. We're going to enjoy what we get from that. And we know we are to love God's word. We know that we are to look to it. We know we are to hold it highly. But are we delighting in it? Are we happy to make a change if we find ourselves contrary to Scripture? Are we looking forward to getting in the Word of God every day? Are we excited to be sitting in church tonight hearing the Bible? Are we excited to be in Sunday school on morning services on Sunday? Are we delighting in God's word? And he said he doesn't just delight in it. He meditates on it. When he's speaking of delighting in the word of God, we are to be finding pleasure and happiness in that. And I found a French proverb that said, a good meal ought to begin with hunger. When I was in college, many times, those of you who've been in college, you found yourself hungry at times, not having enough money to go buy a meal, and you maybe find yourself eating things that you wouldn't have eaten on other occasions. And I found myself very hungry one night in the dorms. And there in Art Wilson, in the second floor, we had one room at the end of the hall. It had a couple of microwaves in it that were filthy. It had maybe a George Foreman grill, and the fridge was just full of other people's stuff, and I didn't want to keep my stuff with there, so I didn't have much food at the dorm, but my roommate had just gotten a package from his mom. And I saw in there were cans of Chef Boyardee ravioli. And I picked that can up. I was hungry. It was close to curfew. And I didn't want to go all the way into the hall and use the dirty microwaves I had there. So I opened the can and got a fork and ate the cold ravioli out of the can. And to many people, and many people many times, you would... If I was to offer you tonight a cold can of ravioli, I don't know how many people would take me up on that offer. But when I had a hunger for it, when I ate it, it was good. I found myself delighting in it. Maybe we don't delight in the Word of God because we don't have a hunger for the Word of God. Because we are to delight in His Word. A sincere babe's desire to the milk of the Word of God that you may grow thereby. We find delight in it, we will accept it, we will hold it dear, we will value it. King George said, it's my confident hope that my subjects never cease to cherish their noble inheritance of the English Bible, which is the first of national treasures, that spiritual significance is the most valuable thing the world affords. The law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. We find in Psalm chapter 119, the word of God needs to be held of value to us. We should delight in it. We should meditate on it. We need to think on it. We need to remind ourselves of it. We have to move quickly. Just as a cow would chew the cud, we need to have the word of God in our hearts. We need to hold it dear to us. We need to look to it. We need to think of it. We need to meditate on it so we can live according to it. Let the Word of God change our hearts. If we're going to resolve to be a prosperous Christian, we need to stay away from the world, and we need to look to the Word of God as our delight, and we need to meditate in it. One of my professors in Bible college, Brother Mike Blythe, had a quote about New Year's resolutions. He said, "New Year's resolutions do not bring lasting change. Lasting change comes by directing the heart to obey God's word and yield to the Spirit." Every one of us could be sitting here tonight with the desire to have a prosperous life for God, to have a successful Christian life, to be as the tree and have those attributes about us. But we can want it all we want, but if we don't apply it and make a change, nothing's going to change. And we won't have those attributes in our life. So let me ask you tonight, we may want that in our life. We may want to find ourselves prosperous as that tree, but do we find delight in the Word of God? Are we meditating on it? Are we staying away from the influence of the world? Are we staying away from walking with the counsel of the ungodly? Are we staying away from maybe standing in the way of sinners? Are we staying away from that? In resolving to do those things, and if we do it, we can't find ourselves with those attributes we saw in verse 3. You say, "Brother Buddy, that sounds great. You know, and I really would like to try to do those things, but you don't understand the temptations I have in my life. You don't understand really how hard it is to read my Bible every day and how to make time to be at church as often as I should. You don't understand the things I have to go through. It's difficult to keep those things up. Yeah, I want that in my life, but I can't do that on my own." Well, you don't have to. Look at verse 3 one more time with me. It says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." The beginning of that verse says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." It's planted by the rivers of water. That tree that's planted by the river doesn't have to wait for rain to get what it needs. It's rooted there by the river. Its foundation is there beside the water. Whenever it needs it, it's there. It's a never-ending supply. It finds that river, it's all sufficient because of the river. Everything that tree needs to live, everything that tree needs to prosper, everything that tree needs to produce fruit is right there. And let me tell you tonight, everything we need in our life to prosper is in God. If we make a decision that we're going to root ourselves in the love of God, we're going to root ourselves under His care, we're going to look to His strength, we're going to be fed by the Word of God and look to Him as our delight, we too can find ourselves producing fruit. We can find ourselves with leaves that don't wither. We can find ourselves prospering in everything we do in our Christian life. It only comes we are planted by that river, looking to it for as our sufficiency. Someone once said that a wasted life is really nothing more than a collection of wasted days. So day by day, we need to find delight in the Word of God. Day by day, we need to make sure we're planted by that river. Day by day, we need to make sure that we are staying away from the things of this world. And day by day, if we find ourselves doing that, we can be as that tree produces his fruit in his season, whose leaves never wither, and who prospers. Let's pray. Lord, I love you, God. I thank you for the day. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And Lord, you don't have to, but you love us enough, not just to die for us and to let us have the opportunity to go to heaven, but God, you want to help us in our everyday life. But I pray that every one of us would make a resolution tonight or in this next year to be a fruitful Christian, so that we would prosper for you, Lord, and that we would plant ourselves by your river. God, have our foundation in you, Lord, and our sufficiency be of you. And help us to refrain from the world this year. Help us, Lord, to look to you and be everything you'd have us to be. We love you and thank you. This is in your name. Amen.